So, love after divorce with your ex. It's not as it's not as singularly purposeful as the name would suggest. And yet, it is. It is, but it's grander. It's a bigger idea than that. Hence, which is the perfect song. So, but there's three things I want to make sure that I say now, that I get them in now so that everything else supports it, because I don't want you to miss this. Number one, in order to have a relationship with someone with whom you've had strain, stress, pain, and suffering, anyone that might fall in that category, there are a couple of elements that have to be included. Number one, a commitment on your part for no blame. And this is like two facets of part one. You have to be willing to not blame another while simultaneously taking responsibility. So those are two facets of one action that begin to blend together as you become more practiced in your metaphysical training and in your commitment to this teaching. So part one, a willingness to not blame while taking responsibility. And we will talk more about each of these. The second part is the willingness to forgive, but you can only forgive someone else if you first have blamed them. Do you realize that? You only need to forgive someone if you first have labeled them as wrong. If someone's not wrong, then you don't need to forgive them. So, however, some forgiveness might be hovering. Right? Some forgiveness might be hovering. So the forgiveness is of the self, but of the yourself first and the other. That's what I meant to say. Forgiveness of self and other. That's part two. And then part three is the bigger picture, and this is the one that will catapult you into having the love life experience that you want. And this is not about relationships that I'm talking about. This is about having the experience of love in this life that you want to have. And that is, who do you want to be when you leave the room? When you leave the room, what is it you want to leave behind? When you end a conversation, what do you want that person to remember about you? You understand that question? Who do you want to be, and what is the impress upon life that you want to live? Who do you want to be? So the part A is no blame while taking responsibility. Part B is to forgive for self and other. And part C is that in doing that process to get clear, who do I want to be in the world? And the combination of those three things will lift you up to the highest idea possible. And if you want, let's look at a couple people for inspiration. Let's look at Martin Luther King Jr., since, you know, this is the season of nonviolence that many centers across the country are celebrating. When Martin Luther King could have just taken care of the unrest in his backyard, he didn't have to put his life on the line. He didn't have to march and do what he did. He could have just taken care of his own, right? But he didn't, because something in him knew he would never be satisfied, that would never quell his thirst for possibility if all he did was take care of his own. He would have had peace in his neighborhood, and that would have been about that. Look at Mahatma Gandhi, and the funny thing is, there are places where Martin Luther King credits some of his influence from Mahatma Gandhi, but in his autobiography, he credits Howard Thurman and Martin Luther King as an influence for his devotion to nonviolence. Because if you look at Gandhi and what really sparked, what really pissed him off, the truth be, that got him started was when he got kicked off the train. He got pissed off. Now, he could have just gotten that guy fired, or he could have just dealt with that railroad, and he could have called it a day. But he didn't, because, again, the unrest that he felt to have a greater experience could never have been satisfied by taking care of it only on the local basis. He had to go to a bigger idea. So in that bigger idea, he took on the whole nation of England. Put his life on the line. Both of them doing jail time. But both of them had an idea that was bigger than just their own. And so, love. Love cannot be selfish and be fully orbed. In order for love to be fully orbed, in order for you to have an experience of love as fully orbed, it must be the biggest picture possible. So, how many people are divorced? How many people have been divorced? Good percentage of this room. More than once? All right. So that is a common experience. Statistics today say that the percentage of people staying married is poor. So if we do not, we the awake, the conscious people who want to have a different experience in life, if we have to get divorced, we might as well have that divorce still be an experience of our life that is enriching, if that is even possible. But it is possible. You know it's possible because I'm here to prove it. And it's not just me. Bob and his beautiful partner here, Shannon, stayed at my home last night. So we got to talk, and we got to talk about family. And so they get to share a similar experience that I'm sharing, which is love with the ex. You know, and they have a great thing going on there with that. It is possible, because if your idea is higher than just me, then all of my ideals and all of the way I work within the world will be lifted. And I love this. I've used this before. Edwin Markham, a poet and a philosopher who died, I think, in the 1920s. And this speaks to a higher idea. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. So when there are two separate entities in collision, what do we get to do? We back up and we draw a bigger circle around all parties. And we let love be the circle, and we let love fill the circle, and we let love be all aspects of that. The book of the month this month, which, as you know, it is in the bookstore and it's available every month. We're going to have this, have these books available to you at a discount for when we're suggesting them. This man's name is Greg Bear. He's a feisty guy from the South. He was at a Sylamar conference last year, and he made a lot of people mad due to some of his antics. He did. He offended many people. Because of a message he was trying to bring, and I won't qualify it. However, I believe that he has a handle on something profound. The name of this book is Real Love, and I've watched him. I've seen him in person. If he wasn't so expensive, I'd get him here. But I've seen him talk to people about healing relationships where there was so much pain and so much suffering, And then recently, well, last year, instead of just talking to people, he sat on stage. He would line up a couple of chairs, two or three chairs on the stage, and he'd have people up there, and he'd, you know, ask for a couple of volunteers or people who needed to heal something, and he'd sit there, and then he would start chatting with somebody. And he would take a guy, you know, say my size, a guy your size, and he'd say, come here. And he would let you sit in his lap. And he sat with these people in his lap. and he hugged them, and he loved them. And no matter what they said, he wouldn't let go of loving them. Can you get that? Because his love is so unconditional. He believes the only true love is when you love enough to care more about that person's happiness, to be more concerned about that person's happiness than anything else. Let me just read a couple of things to you from this book. Real love is unconditionally caring about the happiness of another person. That's a little different than loving them because of what they can do for you. Loving them because of the money. Loving them because of the great sex. Excuse me, children. Loving them for whatever for their creativeness. Loving them and caring about their happiness. Feeling loved and becoming unconditionally loving, loving doesn't happen all at once. I mean, come on, some of us have been on this journey for a while. We already know how challenging just trying to be awake is, right? As Tony pointed out this morning, her car, we're going to talk. Okay? You won't lose your fear, pain, disappointment, and anger overnight. Experiencing real love takes time and patience, and you'll stumble and fall along the way, as I do every day. But the journey is well worth every effort. This is not a fantasy. The thousands of people have successfully used this simple process to find real love, genuine happiness, and fulfilling relationships. Now, pay attention. He says, if you're feeling... Now, who's currently married or in a relationship? Raise your hand. Okay? I'm speaking to y'all. Pay attention. If you're feeling disappointed or angry with your partner, it's a sure sign that you're not unconditionally loving him or her. Which goes back to that means you must be placing blame. If you're placing blame and not taking responsibility, you're going to think it's them. You're going to think it's them. It's the way it is. Now, mind you, you might, your relationship, and let me create some new language here. Let's think about the time of that you have to divorce or that you choose to divorce, or maybe some of you are in the middle of it right now. Let's not think of it as wrong or bad or sinful. Can we agree on that? Can we just think of it that it's come to the end of its usefulness? That chapter is just closed. You get that? You come to a time where, oh, okay, I love you. I just can't live with you anymore. And take away all of the stigma. I mean, face it, today it's common. I mean, although I must admit, I see where my son Seth feels the... he's aware of having a single mom. Let me just say it that way. In the community where we live, it's not totally gone. You know, it's not totally, totally gone. But, you know, thank God for his wherewithal. He has what he needs to deal with it. But the main thing is that for me not to carry it. Because if I carry it, I'm experiencing it. As above, so below. Now, I want to read something to you. And this is something you've heard many, many times, but I'm replacing the words again. This is from Khalil Gibran. Like sheaves of corn, love gathers you unto itself. Love threshes you to make you naked. Love sifts you free to free you from your husks. Love grinds you to whiteness. Love needs you until you are pliant. And then love assigns you to its sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for love's sacred feast. All these things love shall do, all these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your own heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. All those places used to be he's and God. But if we believe that God is love, because that is, everybody's heard that your entire life, that that is, it's a synonym. And we lean into the vibration of love, we can experience our own divinity in a way we couldn't before, whether in relationship or not in it. Because some of us have a more we have a greater difficulty having an experience of the G-O-D. But most of us can begin to imagine love, right? Most of you have some relationship experience of love, whether it's just the love you have for a child you might have, or someone else's, or a niece or a nephew. Most of you can get that vibration excited in your body temple, which is key. He goes on to say, but if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient. You know what it says now, unto love. And so when we begin to have an experience of love, that experience does not require us to, when we begin to have that experience of love, it requires us to have a greater idea. Jesus said, if you say that you love God, but you do not love your neighbor, then you are a liar. Or your brother, do not love your brother, whatever, same message. Holmes misquoted all the time, I can do it. All the time. Who knows what they said anyway, for God's sake. But if I say I'm a spiritual being having or a human being, either way you want to say it, having a spiritual experience, and if I say I'm love, and I treat you not lovingly, I am a liar. You understand? You must be the fruit of your own tree. Because if we are born into the divinity, if we are of the divinity, and we are, and if I am of that tree, if I am the fruit of that tree, then all of me must be that fruit. Now, nowhere is it said you need to live with somebody who's abusive. Nowhere is it said that you should surrender or submit to actions or activities that are less loving than you are willing to accept. I am not saying that. Because if you love yourself enough, you know what you do? You leave. If your self-love is healthy enough, you will take yourself into a more loving situation. So I am not for one second judging the decision. I am not for one second saying the only true love is when we stay, we keep it together. Keep it together if you can keep it together. Because at the point, especially if there are children, it's not about you anymore, folks. And I know I have three sons, two sons, for those of you who don't know yet already, Bill and I have a parenting of two sons, and they have personally given us stories and testimony to the fact that we have peacefully done what we did, that they didn't get to see the stuff that they saw with their other friends' parents. They got to see two parents that might sometimes, we're still human, you know. However, the children are the thing. So raising your standards and raising your sight and raising the possibility is for the children. And if we don't want to hand down a legacy of not taking responsibility, then we must be love even as we're leaving. You with me? No? Oh, I thought somebody said no. Like, oh. And from the textbook, Ernest Holmes says, love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire itself. It is written that God is love. And this is the last you're going to hear, I'm just making that transition. And that we are its expressed likeness, the image of the eternal being. Love is self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. You are divine. You are worthy. You are. You are. You are. You are. You are the very vibration of love at this point in consciousness. And the only way that we get to then raise it up is to have a shift in consciousness first and to demand of ourselves that we love in a greater way. Yes? You've been, those of you who've been around long enough, you've been following the story, the long story, the saga of my son Michael, which is such a beautiful story at this point. You know, now he's living in Seattle and still kind of struggling a little bit in his life, a little bit. It's still happening a little bit. However, more open, more willing, more available to our prayers, more available to our coaching. You know, and he calls me up and I don't remember exactly what he was saying. And I said to Michael, you need to stop speaking and you need to listen a little more if you want me to help you. Okay, Mom. Okay, Mom? Like, wow, this is a transformation. I'm not kidding. This is something to be celebrated. This is what love looks like. And I'm having a love affair with my family and my children. And there's lots of healing going on. And that's because we're putting love first. We're putting love first. You are all, if you're in this seat, you are charged just by entering these walls. You are charged with bringing this possibility out. That is your charge. Because if you walk out here and then you just surrender and go begin to comply or be in the complicity of the fear and the less than out there, then we haven't done anything to lift up what's around us. Let me tell you a quick story. It has nothing to do with anything, but I just want to tell you. Well, it has a little bit to do. The little bit is that it has to do with being in the teaching. So Gene Scheid's son, Max, and my son, Seth, yesterday, they go to high school together on Friday, I rather. Seth wasn't feeling well, so I'd been texting him in school. I know I shouldn't. However, I was making sure he was feeling okay. And so he had just texted me back saying, yes, he was doing relatively okay. And then the next text comes in. It says, real code orange. I have no idea what that means. Anybody know what that means? Some of you do. Real code orange in high school means a threat of either an intruder or a bomb threat. So now he's on there texting, and I got Sandy Hook in my mind. I got to tell you. It was an interesting 35 minutes. That's how long the whole incident lasted. They're fine. Everything was fine. However, there was a threat close enough to the high school that they decided to shut the school down. There was a helicopter. There were cops, and they did this and that. But the interesting conversation, let me just tell you, this is what love does. So while I'm texting him, I'm saying things to him like, I know you're safe, and everybody around you's safe. There's a blanket of love surrounding you. And he's going, okay, Ma. You know, like he's just saying yes and he's absorbing it. Now, and I said to him, keep texting me. Now, in my mind, I'm texting him to help him keep calm. I find out when he comes home from school, he's texting me to help me keep calm. Right? I think I'm all that. But while doing this, I also thought, I think I need a little prayer support. So I'm texting him on this phone and on my computer, on my laptop. I also simultaneously emailed my ministerial field and said, while I'm writing this to you, my son is hovering on the floor in this high school in the library due to, and then the prayers started coming in. And then it was a few moments of me being emotional because once I had that support, I was able to let go a little bit and just be mom. And mom in that moment, couldn't help but think about Sandy Hook. And I know where he was in high school, and I know he, you know. But as love will, love strengthens your resolve. And love strengthens faith. And love supports your conviction. And I got to tell you, I meet a lot of people who swear they're religious, who go to church all the time. But at the first sign of fear or threat, they crumble. I believe that if we do our work, we will not have to crumble to a threat. We might have that human, that little human piece, but in that time, your practices take over. So I surrendered to prayer support and I surrendered to love to protect him. It was scary for a couple of moments. It was. But love was in charge. And I knew that. So when I say love after divorce, in parentheses, with your ex, it's because it doesn't have, your love doesn't have to do with anyone else. Your love, Kathy King, is your love. Your love, Elaine, is your love. Your love, Louise, is your love. Your love, Bill, is your love. It's what you carry in. It's in your house. You understand? You are in charge of your love. And no one gets to interrupt it or take it away, ever. Yes? And so it is. I want to seal this with a treatment. Yes, Donald, it is a tad cold. People are starting to turn blue. Thank you. We want to keep them here for the concert, but not because they're frozen in their seats. So if you will, take the hand of someone, and I'm going to say it this way, take the hand of someone you love, even if you don't know them. Cheryl, you get up and move. You connect with somebody. Because that's what love does. Love reaches out. Jennifer Tunnicliffe, you get someone loving you. Yes. You can, if you want to give me some backup, I'd love it. I'm just some music, some noodling, as they say it. So please go to that place within. Go to that deep, beautiful place within. Feel the connection of your community. Feel the connection of love. Feel the beauty of life. And I know as we surrender into the one power, the one presence, the one essence of good, there's a vibration that gets generated. It gets generated out of our willingness to be present and to be available for love. Let love lead our way. Let love open the door. Let love make the crooked places straight. And let us know that love is closer than our next breath. For love is the breath itself. Love is that which is breathing. And love is the oxygen that is the exchange. Let us ask ourselves and live into what is the possibility of love. Who am I is the possibility of love. Let us allow that question to raise us up to a higher level, to a fully orbed experience of love. Let us be the healing and the healer in the room. Let us feel the full blessing of love, the full measure of love. The sweetness of it, the juiciness of it, the romance of it, the compassion of it, and its many shades. Let us be love. I am so incredibly grateful for this community. I am grateful for love and how it shows up here. I surrender into it. And I allow myself to be scooped up by it, as this entire community is scooped up in the hands of love. For this and so much more, I am abundantly grateful, and I surrender this word. And so it is.